and welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, September 13th, 2014. This is Season 8, Episode 37. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Dennis.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Nathan.
All four of us, five of us in the room together. Yeah, we're still... they made an attempt last night at about, I don't know, 1 in the morning, because they had to take the station off the air in order to make the attempt to fix your room, Nate. They made that attempt and could not do it, so looks like it's going to be a few weeks before you get back in there. So you'll be in here with us. Anyway, everybody, welcome to the show. My name's Scott, and I'm still having a cold. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Nate is still in here, and he's still answering the phones for us. However, the same affliction that his little booth has where he can't hear our show will be the same affliction you have if you call in. You will not be able to hear us when we put you on hold. So keep that in mind. If you do call in at 334-272-9228, you will not be able to hear us when we put you on hold. So we will try to get to you as quickly as possible when you do call in, if you call in. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat as well as on Facebook. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. Stream the cam feed right now through Twitch. Head over to twitch.tv, look for InGameChat, and you can find us there and join with the rest of everyone else who is in the chat room and chat live while we broadcast the show. If you do happen to listen through Twitch, it'll be about a 60-second delay of what you hear, but you can still interact with us through the chat room. A lot of people like to go to Twitch and then mute their computers and then mute the audio from that and then listen to the stream from our website, which is a lot closer to what is actually being said. So, either way you do it, it's fine with us. So welcome to the show. To get right into it, was going to ask James what he's been playing. I've been playing Destiny and Nathan's been playing Destiny. So we'll get to those later, but James, anything that you've been doing?
Nothing anybody's going to be interested in, of course, but
You really don't know.
I do.
Oh, okay.
I've been around a while. Nathan might care. He might be the only one. I don't know, maybe you too, so maybe I'm wrong. I finally got around to pre-ordering the Warlords of Draenor expansion pack.
It's, something come with a pre-order?
Stuff. Yeah. I don't ever do the. I never, ever, ever do the.
You were never in for the incentives of pre-ordering.
No. I don't really care. I'm going to say later on, probably not that far from now, I'm going to talk very much about the evils of pre-ordering. This is a much different case. It's the fifth expansion pack or the fourth expansion pack for World of Warcraft. I'm pre-ordering because I already know that it's a thing I'm going to do. There is no, it'll already be done. I will have it preloaded. They will just flip a switch at midnight on the 13th of November. I will go straight ahead to playing everything else. I buy no discs. I care not one whit for special edition goodies. I don't care for the pets. I don't care for the special mounts. I don't care for the titles. I don't care for the crap. It doesn't matter to me. I just know I'm going to be playing it with all my people. It's something that I've done forever. So it's neither here nor there. About the only incentive attached to it for me is that one of the many things they're offering now, in an effort to kind of close the gap for people who have friends who've been playing forever or who are just interested themselves in playing with or without friends, you know, you're going from, we're already at like a level 90 cap.
People don't know, it's World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft, yes. We are already at a level 90 cap. The next expansion is going to take us to 100. Even with all of the ways of accelerating your gameplay, it still takes an awful lot of effort to get from the introductory levels all the way to the maximum levels where everybody really is playing. So as a catch-up exercise, one of the things they're offering is for anyone who purchases Warlords of Draenor, you get a free, automatic, no questions asked, level 90 character. You can also buy these separately for $60 a pop, which is steepish. I'm not going to lie. That's not something I'm interested in doing. But up to now, I have essentially one class I have never, ever played. Ever. I have every class at or very close to level 90, except for a Warlock. So I spent the last several days, I boosted a Warlock from like level 1 to level 90 and have spent a couple of days trying to figure out what in the world you do when you're playing a level of 90 warlock. I have no concept how they work. I know they have pets. I know they.
We can somewhat talk later because that's all I raided with.
Oh, is it?
Is
yeah,
a warlock.
I never played, and I have played everything else. Not everything else extensively. I played about half of the classes in that game extensively at one point in time or another. But I've never played a warlock, so I was like, whatever. All right, you're giving out free classes, so I'll take your warlock, and I will try my best to figure out what in the world you're supposed to do with an automatic maximum level warlock.
The starting out at maximum, I've never liked it. I don't like having to try to figure out what you're doing with all the moves. I always prefer trying to slowly. It's such a.
The game is by necessity designed, even if you're playing with all of the specialized heirloom items, which give you a massive, something like 300-400% XP boost. Even at that rate, you still have a fairly good handle on the evolution of your gameplay. You know, you start out with like one kind of little pet, you know, familiar thing that hangs out with you. You got one or two spells. And that evolves pretty well over time, and you learn what you like, what you don't like, and you develop your style. I'm sitting here with a spell book with 6 pages of crap in it that I have no idea what to do. And if it was just a list of spells, that's one thing. But the warlock in particular is very... it's a priority-based class, like a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
Under this circumstance, where this thing is true, but this thing is false, and you have 3 of these, but not more... then 3.5 and not less than 2 do this. And it's just this long, really like if-then statement of how to act. Plus all of the attentive, like...
pop and trinkets.
Yeah, it's all the normal stuff that goes along with it. And I mean, in general, I understand all of that stuff, but I'm having to put that class into context having known none of it. Any of them could be anything, and it's very frustrating. Like, it's incredibly frustrating because I need it to work as smoothly and efficiently as all the other characters do.
And just a perspective for people, you know, you can be, you know, if you call yourself a pro, you know, World of Warcraft player, MMO player, and honestly, it takes at least a minimum to master a class in its talent tree. You know, say if you're going to go demonology or affliction or whatever, it takes at least a month to master it because you don't just have to know the buttons. You have to learn your finger placement on your mouse or, you know, with your keyboard. I mean, so... just, you know, perspective for people. It takes at least a month to
it does. And I mean, I've set
get
it
comfortable.
Up and it's every there's a lot of similarities, right? There's an awful lot of similar types of spells for each class. So I'm going to put all of the execute skills, right? Like every class has kind of
what,
an execute.
What class are you, or no, what
talent? I'm destruction. Okay. That was the one that I chose. Yeah, I realized
that's
the best
to learn.
Right, I figured that's the best direct damage as opposed to warlocks also excel at damage over time type spells where you just like put little spells on lots of things and let them eat away and that's how you do your damage. But that's what
affliction,
yes,
and demonology.
But anyway, so I realized. Destruction would be the closest to my mage.
It's the easiest. Right? So. It's like 4 buttons.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, the basic rotation is like perfectly fine. It's just all of the other attendant stuff.
I remember back...
I've got 5 ways to fear something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
back in Burning Crusade, my friend gave me his account. It had a 70 paladin on it. And, you know, I knew all about paladins. All I did was play, you know, PvP and... you know, being a warrior, which is the only classes I've ever truly, you know, played hardcore is either warrior or warlock. I've played every class except rogue. I hate rogues. I have a personal thing against them. But anyways, so those 2 classes, you know, I played the most. But when he gave me his paladin to play, I couldn't do it. But then, like,
when was
late,
this? When
this
did you
Burning
play
Crusade.
Oh, okay.
But then...
The paladin was undergoing a really weird change in Burning Crusade because coming out of vanilla
or
classic, however you want to call it, the original first 2 years of World of Warcraft, every class in that game, there was very little flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Every class had a job. You may have had 3 distinct theoretical roles you could play, right? Like priests, for example, had a damage dealing spec, and they had a mitigation spec. But I don't care. Are you a priest? Do you want to raid? You're holy. Are you a paladin? Do you want to raid? You're holy. And they didn't have really damage dealing or tanking capabilities beyond like nominal things. Yeah. I have a skill tree that says I can tank, and everybody pats you on the head and says, yes, that's very nice. Come into the raid and please buff us all and heal us. But as of Burning Crusade, they were trying to like evolve them into something more complicated. Yeah. And it...
But you got to remember that it had
took
that,
until Wrath for that to actually
You also
happen.
Had that strange, you know, Horde and Alliance never had a Shaman or a Paladin either. So
yeah, that's
also
right. Alliance didn't have it. Yeah, so that was a little bit of a strange thing at the time. It was an interesting, like, evolutionary period in a game that has gone on to be something quite a bit more than the 800-pound gorilla. So it was an interesting time. And it wasn't until the expansion after that that they really turned into something. Yeah. My main class is a paladin. That's the one that I focus on. I mean, I have everything just because I've been playing for 10 years. It's not hard to get 11 classes to max level in 10 years. But yeah, so anyway, it's been a little bit of a silly thing. It doesn't matter. But I thought this was fun. It's the last one that I needed. It's just there. I didn't ask for it, but they're handing them out. So I was like,
yeah.
I got this guy. And he does, like, stuff with shadow spells, and he's super evil or whatever, and whatever. Yeah. I don't know. So that's about all I've done. It's been sort of fun. All the people in my guild laughing at me, trying to ask questions about a class in a game that I've been playing for 10 years and have no concept of.
Dennis, on to you.
I've got nothing new.
Nothing
myself.
New?
Just usual Binding of Isaac, Kingdom of Loathing. Nothing really new going on there. Just trying to get my achievements up before Rebirth comes out.
Yeah. RJ?
I'm still the standard fare with Dark Souls 2 and Virtua Fighter. Starting to slip in my Street Fighter skills. I got a really harsh lesson last night at the tavern. I couldn't get a win to save my life. But also went on from watching Five Nights at Freddy. I've actually started playing it now.
Yeah, I saw you popping out earlier.
I put the $5 down, bought the full copy, started playing it. Had a few issues here and there with the mouse. I couldn't see the mouse unless the game was in window mode. So maybe I'm just not familiar with PC games enough to try to get my way around that. Maybe we can talk later and get around that. But I can only see my mouse in window mode, and it doesn't give you the full experience really when it's in window mode. Everything's small. But I mean, when it's full screen, everything you can't see anything but the game and focus on that. It gives you more pressure and more. Gives you more that feeling of paranoia that the game is really
because having other things in your peripheral
it takes away from the experience. But other than that, I've gotten to the point where I'm just tired of waiting. I'm trying to research everything I can about getting Phantasy Star Online 2 on the PC because the game's been out for 2 years and Sega of Japan keeps saying we're working on it for an American version, and I've waited long enough. I mean. People I know of, people who I know have talked to who play the game. They're having a blast with it. They're having a ball, like all the fun that I've had with Phantasy Star Universe. I'm just tired of waiting. I just gotta get all the information I can to try to see if I can get it on my computer. Hopefully, my computer, old as it is, can handle PSO2, but I think it will based on what I've talked to with everybody else. So that's what I've been working on this week.
Yeah, I know we push you, or we don't really push, but we, you know. Teach you about upgrading to a PS4, Xbox One, stuff like that. But I think the more I think about it, I think, you know what? Update the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Get the PC up to specs. And get your gaming in over there.
Yeah.
I kind of foresee myself playing that more this generation. And we've talked about it because when Xbox 360 and the PS3 were released... they did have a little bit of a leg up on PC at that time, but now there's just no competition between them. You know, you're going to come out better, and graphically, the PC can do better than what the consoles can do.
Yeah.
Affordably, as far as sometimes you can find the games cheaper.
Yeah, much cheaper.
Yeah. That
usually it's around 60 for the console, 50 for the. PC when it comes, I knew for a while back anyway, and then the prices drop down a lot quicker on the PC anyway.
Yeah,
I know, but I mean, 20 plus years of, well, no, 30 plus years of playing on a console. That's just what I'm used to. I mean, playing on a keyboard still feels foreign to me sometimes.
Yeah,
some games I've played like Freestyle Street Basketball when Sierra Online was still turning out games. I played that, and you were called for cheating if you played with a controller. I mean, they wanted you to play on the keyboard. And I'm sorry, but I refuse to play a sports title on a keyboard. I'm just not doing it. So it's just something to get used to over time playing on a PC. But you're right about it being very similar between the two consoles and PCs nowadays.
All right, let's jump to the phones because they can't hear us when they're on hold right now. But if you could hit the button under the... Yeah, that one. There you go. Laura, you're on the air with us.
Okay. I just had a stupid question, I guess. I don't even know. My son, for several years, has been determined that he was going to school to be an architectural engineer. And he's graduating this year, and he has since changed his mind and wants to go into graphics design to, like, design games for PlayStations, Xboxes, and such as that. And I don't know whether to encourage that or, I mean, these things change so often. But he wants to design these games. He's all into, you know, recording them. He puts them on the YouTube thing and all that.
So you want to know if you should encourage him in his desire to become a game designer.
Correct. Instead of an architectural engineer, you know,
I don't know anything about an architectural engineer.
Okay. Well, he would draw the drafts for the buildings and such as that before they were built. And,
I can tell you this, beyond the shadow of a doubt, we don't know exactly where the gaming industry is going. But there are two facts about this. The largest part, the corporate part of the gaming industry, is a major growth sector. It's $100 billion a year or more in revenues. But there are a lot of questions about whether we're operating in some kind of large budget bubble and whether even if the jobs there are going to last forever, if it's the kind of thing you want to do. Having said that, the ability for small groups of people, even individuals, to make their mark and to make some money in the industry is growing all the time. Having said that, whether or not that even matters, the basic skills that you want to encourage in someone who wants game design, whether it's audio, video, artistic, they really want to invest in the ability to do basic computer coding. They want to be able to code. Even a designer who themselves will not ever really write code in a game design project or when building a game should understand code the same way an architectural engineer should understand carpentry or masonry or metallurgy or something like that. It is a fundamental part. It is everything that game design is based on, even the simplest thing, even a basic Java-style game or Flash game, all the way up to the $500 million projects. These are all based on a lot of the same coding principles.
Okay.
If he follows those principles with the idea that he's going to go into game design, then he's on the right path. If he decides for whatever reason that he's not interested in game design, being able to write code and at the very least understand code at a computer level is one of the most important skills.
Yeah.
Possibly the most important. It is beyond even what it would have meant to be able to type in the 50s and 60s. Or write, honestly, to be a scribe or to understand a printing press 700 years ago. It is
Do they teach this in college? I mean, is that
No, absolutely they do. Typically, if it's a degree path you're looking at something simple like computer science. A computer science degree is coding.
That's actually what I'm going to school for. I don't necessarily plan on...
Okay, so he would want to go for computer science then.
Yes. Yeah. And whatever his end goal is with design, like I said, whether it's art-based, audio-based, graphics, AI...
It's all of it. He's just obsessed with it.
If it's... even if you have whether it's a specific element of game design or a whole kind of soup to nuts look at the process of game design... It's coding. It's the ability to write code and understand as much about it as you can. And if his interest in gaming evaporates, he's still left with one of the most valuable skills that a person can have in the next century.
James is hit the nail on the head there. He seriously does. We had an engineer here who is no longer here because he knows how to write code, and a company hired him to do that. He now works out of his house. And makes enough to support him, his wife, and plenty of other stuff. Does websites for Disney, does websites for other companies, gets contracted out for that sort of thing, and it's great for him. So, and he knows how to write code. I couldn't tell you the first thing about doing it.
Okay, and this is, I guess, you know, the thing that I needed to know, and you've helped me so much because, you know, I've been talking to him, and I'm like, you know, there's always going to be a need for architects, always. They're always going to be building buildings, and, you know, they're always going to need the engineers. But, okay, computer science, that makes a lot of sense.
It is.
He's been arguing with me that there's going to be, you know, more money and more opportunity for him if he goes into that.
He is. Absolutely okay. Correct. He is absolutely okay. Correct. Whether it is, and again, it is code gets you into everything. There isn't a thing in the future that isn't likely to be based off of the ability to write and communicate in code. Yeah. It is the language of everything happening between now and, you know, the indefinite future. So, and game design is wonderful. Obviously, we are all huge fans of it, and we totally believe in the ability of either small groups of individuals, single individuals, or large corporations to produce games in what is appears to be a real growth industry. But beyond all of that, it's a solid, solid career choice.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's wanting to go on with one of the big companies and, you know, help design, I don't know the appropriate wording for it.
Right.
You know, he can, I don't know. But he wants to design the games, make the games, or what, you know. Mm-hmm. He's, like, got all of these things. He's like, well, I would change this and this on this game, and it would be just, you know, incredible, and I could do all that. And okay, well, one last question, and I'll let you go. I don't mean to take up all your time.
Sure, yeah.
He is sending everything to, you know, all of his – he's very, very smart, honors program and all that. But his first college choice is Auburn. Do they offer that kind of course, or is he going to have to change his college choice?
Oh, no. A CS degree is an incredibly easy thing to come by. I mean, when I went to Auburn 20 years ago, they were offering what would eventually become CS courses and CS paths. I don't know what their current offerings are. I would be absolutely shocked if they didn't offer one that was top-notch right now.
Good. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your time. You've really answered a lot of questions and cleared up a lot of debates between myself and my son.
You're absolutely welcome. And I think our opinions might diverge somewhat on the show about what direction he should go in game design, but that's more of a preference and art type thing. That's an interesting thing that the industry is doing right now. But
yes. Even if it didn't, you know, go into design, it's like you said, coding would be, open several doors.
Yep.
Yes,
it will.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for
listening and calling.
And, you know, if you think about it, we'll probably still be around by the time he graduates from college.
Right.
keep us posted on how that goes for him.
I sure will. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Great call. We're going to take a break. If you've got questions like that, give us a call anytime. 334-272-9228. Remember, when you do call in, we'll put you on hold, but you will not be able to hear the show, so we'll get to you as quick as we can. Show notes coming up at the top of the second hour. We've got an interview with Casper Van Est from Double Dutch Games about speedrunners, and we'll also have free copies of that game on Steam to give away during that interview, so make sure you tune in for that. We'll think about how we're going to give those away. We got plenty, so we can do maybe half and half. Some for the listeners of the live feed and some of you who are on the 60-second delay in Twitch. We've got some good ways to give them away there. So coming up next here on In-Game Chat, we'll have more. Right now, here is a song titled Scars of Time. We'll be right back.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk.
The mind.
And welcome back to In-Game Chat. That is music from Rez HD. Real quick, over to Nathan. Laura, if you're still listening, Nathan had something he meant to mention while you were on the phone with us.
Yes. Coming up at the end of the month, let's see, September 26th, it's on a Friday, up in Birmingham, they're having a job fair, and it's something he could look into to see all of the local IT jobs that are happening. And I don't, as we were talking about earlier, World of Warcraft, there's a company that you can get mods from there, but it's called Curse Gaming, and they're going to be there. But the,
Curse is based out of Huntsville, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. At least I'll check that. But the website to check that out is techfetch.com. And when you go to it, you'll see a thing that says tech job fair, and it'll say all the everything. You have to sign up to go. You can't just go to it. But there's going to be a ton of companies there, and just something he could look into, you know, just to see what's out there that he could prepare for and, you know, move on to. But, yeah.
So. Cool. And you're going to that?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, cool. I'd love to hear about it when you come back from that. Is that over a weekend? Or are you going to be out for that?
It's Friday.
Oh, it's on a Friday. All right, yeah. Cool. All right, well, welcome back to the show. I hope she was still listening and was able to hear that and pass that along to her son. So, by the way, RJ, how far have you gotten into, are you done with Console Wars yet?
Yeah, I finished the book. I finished the book over the week as well. Yes, I did.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I know one of the games that we had talked about, I was thinking about this today because I kept losing connection to Destiny, so I unplugged my PC from the network, and I plugged it directly in. Instead of using the Wi-Fi, I just plugged the PS4 directly in because I got tired of losing the connection. And that made me think, oh, wow, James could use all my games to play. And I was like, I know he's not finished Arkham Origins. And then that sprung a thought of, hey, he's got a lot more time now to finish Arkham Origins before Arkham Knight gets released.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we found that out this past, I think that was Monday when we found that out, that Arkham Knight gets a release of the 2nd of June?
2nd or 3rd, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we really couldn't figure out why that was lining up the way it was. I mean, my first thought was the movie, but that's not until 2016.
That's a year. That's a year later. That's May of 2016.
Right. And so it feels like an odd date. There's very few games that have been released around that
June
time.
June is the beginning of the summer drought, usually. So people were looking at the pushback and the date of June as people who are being optimistic were saying, this is absolutely great. There's almost never anything to play over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be there for me, and it's going to be excellent, and I'm going to enjoy it, and that's going to be fantastic. There's usually a reason why there's nothing in the summer, and it's just because things don't sell nearly as well in the summer. To add to that, June is the beginning of convention season. The summer convention season. So people are generally talking about what's going to happen in the fall or the following
year. The attention
year.
Is diverted.
It is. Makes it a little more difficult to divert attention just to the marketing of a particular game. So that's neither here nor there. Those are just suppositions, they're guesses.
The two games that I can remember being released almost exactly at that time are The Last of Us.
The Last of Us, that's right. Which did, you know, okay. Right?
Right. And then before that was Infamous, the first one.
Yeah.
It released.
Which really did just do okay.
Yeah, just did okay. The only reason I remember these things is because I remember.
Because you could not play them.
I could not play them because I was out of town.
Right.
Exactly. So that's why those stick out in my head.
More than the time of year that they're releasing it is the time between when it was going to be released and when they're now releasing it. That's what's more suspect. A few months, right? 3-4 months, you're thinking, you couldn't quite get that last 5% quality that you wanted. Or maybe you found yourself in a crowded season and you were interested in maybe pushing it back a little
bit. Right.
This is all guesswork, but I find that a bit more suspect because generally speaking, development costs need to be recouped as soon after a game is done. And you have to make really tough decisions about. You can push it back a little bit, but every time you fall into a subsequent quarter, you're writing down losses for development to yet another quarter. You're eating the cost of development, all of those sunk costs for yet another quarter. It's a very, very good idea financially to get that money back as soon as you possibly can. But that's fine. You push it back for a quarter, three months. That makes a little bit of sense. That's enough time to put some more polish on a game. But what, like 9 months?
Yeah.
8 months, 9 months, that begins to look a little more like Arkham Knight.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It begins to make you wonder whether whether significant features of the game are being readdressed.
Yeah, I remember that was the first thing I asked you. I was like, I said, Batman's getting July 2nd, then I said, or June 2nd. And then I said, how did they even have October on the line? Or how did they even have October as a date if they're putting it on in June?
Yeah. You know? How could they ever have hoped to get it out then?
Right. Way?
either it was going to be a disaster or, and they've pushed it back to, because right. that's how much time they absolutely needed.
I can go back and show you promo material that shows October 15th.
That was
right.
Is that E3, wasn't it? Or
No. It was when they first announced the game. There were pre-order stuff.
Okay.
There was pre-order things already, and it said October. I mean, it said, you know.
I was thinking it was E3 that said the date it was supposed
to be. No. E3 just said 2015. That's all E3 said. But yeah.
I think it's a little bit weird to suggest that they're just trying to get out of a crowded February season. They could have gone to March or April. That doesn't look nearly as crowded. It's hard to say since, you know, that's still a significant way away. And I don't think there was a problem. It didn't look like the game was in any danger.
Mm-hmm.
These guys know how to make a Batman game.
Right, yeah.
It just really makes me wonder if they thought twice about certain features and they wanted to go back and rather than just adding some polish, they wanted to readdress some of the core concepts of the game.
Watch Dogs.
I don't think it's bad because Arkham Knight didn't look like a lie to me. I do know that you're joking, but I know exactly what you're getting at. I go back and look at that original 2012 Watch Dogs and it still looks like a lie. Arkham Knight didn't. Arkham Knight looked completely legit, completely solid, completely believable and real. So I just wonder if maybe they were making a few changes that they, you know, there's no sense in mentioning, but just a little extra polish doesn't require.
This was one of those, was going to be one of the first titles that was getting a current gen only release.
Yes.
And I think it's still planned that way.
Oh, no, I haven't seen any indication
either.
That's
changed.
A lot of people were worried about that. Well, they're pushing it back to, because they need PS3 and 360.
Right.
They need to backport it.
Right.
I have not seen any evidence of that whatsoever. I'm not worried about it. I don't think there's a problem.
I'm not worried about it either.
I know you want to play it.
I know. So, yeah, it was just like
your problem is that Batman games are supposed to come out in October.
They are. October.
So you just wish they would push it back.
November, something
yet
like
another
that.
3 months.
That would be, yeah, I mean, if they're going to go that far, sure, go ahead.
Sure, just push it back to the next October.
Look, I like my games to coincide in my seasons. It takes place here in Halloween, and I'm going to be playing it in June. That's not fair. Well, I want that, but then again, at the same time, I don't.
Just wait till October.
To wait till October to play it. Exactly. That's not a bad idea. I don't know.
You won't be able to do that.
I know.
No,
I don't think I'll be able to do that.
You can't do that. Don't lie.
Get it for cheaper.
Whatever. It's a day one. You've pre-ordered that already, haven't you?
I have.
I thought so.
Well, it comes with a Batmobile. So, yeah. I pre-ordered that. That's the fun thing about Amazon, man. I'll pre-order all over the place on Amazon because it ain't taking any money out of my pocket until it ships. So I can cancel that if I want to, just like I did with my... my PS4 Destiny, my white PS4. Speaking of Destiny, me and Nate have been playing it. I have not been playing much of it.
I would barely qualify either one of you as having played it.
Yeah,
given where
I'm not even out of where I was in the beta. So.
And I don't even really mean that as snark. I just mean given where the conversation about that game is right now, I don't think either one of you have leveled into controversial territory.
No.
If that makes any sense.
No. You're
what are you, 12?
12?
I'm 12, yes.
On a single character?
Yeah.
Man, you guys are slow.
I'm at 7.
It's been busy.
You could do 7 in an afternoon.
Yeah. I did 7 today.
I got to 7 on Monday. No, I got to 8 on Monday.
You can do nothing to 7 in a day.
Yeah.
Or in an afternoon. It doesn't take any time at all, unless they've drastically changed how it worked from...
No, they haven't. It's just I haven't played it. I got the game on Tuesday.
It does take longer to level.
I don't believe you.
It does.
I don't believe you. There were people who were level 20 Tuesday night.
There were people who, like me, got it Monday.
That's right.
There were people who started playing Tuesday who were level 20 by Tuesday night.
I mean, if you... Yeah, you could, but you'd have to not stop at all.
There are only so many hours in a day. It's not like they played 48 hours
between
Tuesday morning and Tuesday night. And I'm not even saying that they suggested that the leveling game would last forever.
Yeah.
But I just don't believe that it's a significantly longer time than what we had in the alpha beta.
I would say it's a little bit. It did, to get to 8 that night, my first night, it took me probably about 4 to 5 hours. Where in the beta, it only took me.
No, but that's about what I was saying. Like an afternoon or something like that.
Yeah.
You can get from 0 to 8.
I said it's
eight.
A little harder. It's not.
Nah, it doesn't. That's statistically insignificant.
A
Doesn't really matter. If it takes you 5 hours instead of four, it just doesn't matter in the whole scheme of things. It's not like it takes you 10 hours instead of five.
Exactly. Yeah. No.
Which is what a lot of, but it is something that was being very widely suggested by people in the alpha and beta, that this leveling rate is massively sped up so that you can just try out all the stuff because it's a demo. They're just doing you a favor and making sure that you can play everything. It's super sped up. Don't worry, it's level 20, but it's going to take you a significant amount of time to get there. And Bungie, kind of talking out of the side of their mouth, gave a little bit of, you know, seemed to egg that idea on. Oh, yeah. Our leveling game itself is actually going to represent a significant amount of game time. That's has never been true in anything that's either an MMO or a game that's smells like an MMO but really isn't. It's not, you know. Unless it takes you a week to get to level 20 or something like that. But it doesn't. If you can do it in a day. Yeah.
Well, wasn't there a thing a couple years ago that Blizzard got mad that people were leveling too quick? It was like, I think it was Cataclysm. They thought it was going to take people a lot longer.
Well, not always. They quit doing this after a while. But for years and years, they claimed that it would take a significant amount of time. Now, we believe the leveling game is going to take you like 2 weeks. And I remember... I don't know if you remember, there was a famous like screenshot of the first guy globally to hit level 70. He was like a gnome mage or something. It was called he was a French guy.
So
it was called Jay Ding, because he like
Ding.
I Ding or whatever. I don't know whatever that is. But like I remember Jay Ding, and it was like 16 hours, 17 hours after the expansion launched.
Yep.
It was nothing. The leveling game is. And by all rights should remain irrelevant. It is not where your content should actually be. I understand why it exists, but it should be absolutely... this is, if everybody could just admit to it, the leveling game in Destiny is acting the same way the leveling game in Guild Wars 1 worked. Guild Wars 1 was a level 20 cap, and for all of the years, all of the expansions, all of the add-on material, all of the additional gear and zones... it remained a level 20 cap. Everything was a form of alternate character advancement past that point. And I have no problem with that at all. Clearly, leveling to 20 in a day is the absolute least of Destiny's problems.
Yeah. I got it on Tuesday. I went through the first little mission there where you get your ship. I guess you level to 2 within that mission. And then I never touched it until this morning when I got up. Yeah, I get home from work and I just did not feel like playing. I didn't. I felt headaches and just wanted to sleep. I was miserable trying to get over this thing. And I sat down to do it last night and passed out on the couch. I just didn't have it in me. So I got up this morning, bound and determined, and started playing and went through. Got up to level 3, about halfway into level 3, and then just started doing the patrol missions. Didn't even bother with the story stuff, just started going around doing patrol stuff, and that's how I got all the way up to level 7 before I jumped back in. And then I started having connection issues, like I was mentioning earlier. A lot of disconnects. I don't know if that's on my side or if anything like that was happening. Yeah, it must have been on my side, but even taking out the network cable and instead of going on Wi-Fi, just plugging it in directly, was still having connection issues. So I don't know what that was about. As I started getting back into the missions and still having problems. So
I would agree with James that we definitely haven't touched enough to actually, you know, fully talk about all the features. Yeah. I've played PvP, which I love the PvP, just because it's, you know,
I've heard issues of unbalance there, but I mean, it's PvP. They probably always start a little bit unbalanced.
You could somewhat say that with the gun styles because, you know, the auto rifle.
And the shotgun, from my understanding.
Yeah. But to me, it still comes down to a matter of skill to a degree because you still have to have those quick reflexes. And
quick reflexes are really good, but something that they've abandoned here by moving from Halo-style combat, where every character literally is... exactly the same.
Yeah.
It is all about the skill ceiling. It is all about map knowledge. Not mostly, not largely or significantly. It is all about skill. What they have done now by covering the game in MMO hooks, RPG-style hooks, where character builds, character levels, alternate advancement levels, different stats on different weapons, where all these things come into play, you've created a very, very difficult maze of balance issues that you're going to have to deal with forever. It's not like a month from now, 6 weeks from now, five patches from now, 10 years from now, they will ever, ever balance this game. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not. But what I am saying is the idea that it's just all about skill can never be true.
Well, exactly. What I was saying before that with the whole deals, you also have to learn to not put yourself into those situations with the shotgun. Although I've never had issues with the shotgun. Everyone I ever played against, the three rounds that I had played last night, I didn't run into a single shotgun, actually.
Yeah.
It's just... every game, every MMO or every PvP style game, even Call of Duty's, any shooter, the game has to be balanced, and it won't have that balance because, like you said, it's just
anything that's based around gear progression,
it's not really possible.
Can't do it. You're going to spend forever trying to chase it, but
exactly.
Every change that you make for one reason or another mm-hmm. is going to change the entire landscape.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're in a slightly better position because they're only dealing with
a limited amount.
Three classes. Yeah. With their subclasses, obviously, but three classes and a limited array of weapons. It's not like World of Warcraft, which long ago gave up even the pretense of balance.
And nowadays, all companies should know that when you have this many people playing a game, they're going to figure out every single aspect and every single way you can
within the first day.
Yeah, exactly. Which did you see? Well,
somebody already has, right?
There was a tweet last night from Bungie, and they were like, just letting everyone know the ban hammers have been laid. And I don't know what that was about. Did you hear anything?
Well, they found somebody was able to find an infinite ammo glitch in the game. They were able to somehow get infinite ammo, no reloading whatsoever. They could just hold down the trigger and go, and that was it. No, they never had to reload. There's a video of it out there where the guy actually makes it happen. He doesn't explain exactly how he's doing it, but you see his ammo go up to a gross amount of numbers, and then it never depletes, and so yeah. And someone found one for infinite money as well, so that's likely what they're talking about. He could use that in multiplayer as well.
Yeah,
the infinite ammo situation whenever he went to PvP. So,
What kind of infinite money? Just like regular
glimmer.
Glimmer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What in the world, honestly, and I do mean this honestly, what in the world does that matter?
Because that you can use that to upgrade the guy you turn in the little
the engrams, right? Yeah.
You can just keep buying stuff off of him and just
right. But he's got a hard limit on the quality of stuff that he'll ever give you.
Well, yeah,
the better stuff is all coming from.
But the more you level, no, they can draw. He can get when you buy those from him. Those little the random things, the higher level you can get, you can actually.
He can
get.
Drop stuff that's equivalent to the things that can only be purchased by the credits you get through like raids.
Meaning, what do you mean?
The very best gear, my understanding, comes from a token system.
Mm-hmm.
Or an alternate currency system that you get by doing raids and hard level content.
Yeah, okay.
And you're capped.
Yeah.
So the stuff that they want you doing anyway as an in-game exercise, you can't even get from him. In the short term, I understand what more money does.
I would say.
But there's no market in this game.
I would say having the unlimited money would be like being able to eventually get a BOP epic in WoW. Yeah,
right, but a BOP epic in WoW is always going to be a lot less. Like the kind of purchasable or world drop epic is always going to be significantly less.
I do know you can get a legendary from them, so you can eventually get legendaries. So.
Right, but those aren't even. But again, the better. I'm not saying I can't
the
conceive
stuff,
of
I
a reason.
Could,
I'm just.
I don't know. I don't know the stats.
I'm using
stuff,
it to sort of argue against one of the points of the game is that it doesn't have a market. It doesn't have anything that the money could really ruin.
No, not really.
Yeah, it's not going to kill the economy or anything.
There is no
game. There isn't. Yeah, exactly.
It's barely even a social game.
It would be almost kind of like having infinite money in Diablo 3.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying don't fix it. Obviously, you clearly want to fix it, but it's... Yeah. Whatever. I don't know. The game has an awful lot of problems. It really, really, really clearly does. Unless there is a tremendous conspiracy to say very bad things about it in official publications, then the game obviously has many, many problems.
It hasn't had the best of receptions as far as
it's had a horrible reception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's had an absolutely horrible reception and it's being raked over the coals. I think that they're being, frankly, a little, I don't know about too kind to it because I haven't played it beyond the beta, but I don't know. If this was not Bungie, if this game had come out of just about any other studio, do you think it would be treated this well? How honestly, and I know this is just a pure guess, but how much do you really think is just not wanting to take the belt to Bungie that hard? The core gameplay, and by which I mean just the shooting mechanics, were tremendously fun. That was the one thing I was turned around on by playing the alpha and beta. But they are clearly not offering really even a portion of what they promised or indicated, indirectly or directly. There's not enough of a game here to satisfy an awful lot of people, and there is a, I think, significant number of people who are expecting a lot more.
Especially if you're coming from a World of Warcraft-style, you know, MMO.
I don't know. I have to believe that anybody who's ever played a real and proper and true MMO would I didn't come into this game and think, you're lying to me. This isn't a real MMO. It never looked like one. I can see one of those from 10 miles away. I never expected it to be, and they never called it one.
I never considered it one, no.
But what they did...
Although I've never played a real MMO.
A lot of people I knew always were coming at it, wow, it would be cool to play an MMO. And I was like, it's not really
It's
an
not
MMO.
Even close to an MMO. It's got a lot of the hooks and trappings of an MMO.
Yeah, and like, to me, if anything, it's just Borderlands.
It's got all the bad stuff of an MMO. Without much of any of the good stuff. It has a lot of problems. I know there's a lot of people currently enjoying it, but I think there's a really good chance.
4 years of work should not have resulted in the reviews it got
don't
from Bungie.
I think so. It's currently sitting at a 75 on Metacritic, and we're still missing a couple of key, heavily weighted Metacritic review sites, which are probably going to drag it back down.
It was interesting that the reason for that was that they didn't want to, well, I don't know why, Bungie didn't want to turn the servers on.
Bungie claimed that it was impossible, to review this game without thousands and thousands of people on the servers. When was the last time you saw more than a dozen at once?
You said the score was 75 on Metacritic?
The aggregate right now on Metacritic
is
75.
Yeah, when I was looking at random scores for the game, I was seeing 6.0, 7, around the 6.
There were a lot of major sites that scored it relatively low. Giant Bomb gave it a 3 out of 5. Polygon,
60%,
in an unusually concise and you know... without too much snark, without too much of the reasons why we actually don't like Polygon, gave it, what did they give it, a 6?
Yeah.
Something like that. It's not doing well. And I don't think Bungie is particularly happy about it. Yeah. All I can say is that I sort of have to believe that there are a lot of review sites that are just not inclined to do them any favors because they were not given review copies. They were shut out of the one thing they think is the cornerstone of their job, is to review things critically. Both for, informational purposes, for consumer purposes, and for page clicks. So I don't know. It's a rotten thing right now. The discussion is an awfully rotten thing. There are a lot of really strong opinions for people that are both angry about it and people who are both, you know, very positive about it. Mm. I don't know. I lost any interest I had in playing it because I had a strong feeling that it wasn't going to have much to offer me. But this is a much harsher set of criticisms than I had expected.
I will say this real quick. Right now, I just bought a car this week, so right now I won't be buying any games probably till Christmas at the minimum. So
yeah,
I'll be able to give you a true, you know, I'll be playing Destiny for a while.
Just because it's the only thing I'll be,
you know. So I'll definitely be able to.
Well,
do
but you won't be able to afford the DLC.
I already got it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
did you buy the,
I got the limited
you got
pass.
The season pass and everything.
So. Oh, you got the limited edition. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know you'd gotten that. I just thought you either got the bare bones or the digital edition or whatever it was. So, anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back, we will have the interview that I did earlier this week. They're like 7 hours ahead of us, so we couldn't do a live interview. But earlier this week with Double Dutch Games about speedrunners. And we'll be having that interview coming up after the break. Also, we'll be giving away some codes for the game. Still haven't figured out how we'll do that, but if you're in the chat room, stick around. You might win a free game of speedrunners on Steam. Here is music from Kingdom Hearts 2. It's called One Winged Angel, and we will be back right after this.
Welcome back to In-Game Chat. We're doing an interview right now with Casper Van Est from Double Dutch Games. He is pretty much the creator of a favorite of mine and a few people here on the show and many, many other people, a game called Speedrunners, which I noticed at PAX last year and which had a huge presence at PAX this year, or at least huge in comparison to what they had last year. Casper, welcome to the show. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, Scott. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's good to be on the show.
Oh, I appreciate it. This is a favorite of mine. Speedrunners is something that I saw at PAX last year. You guys were part of not the Indie Mega booth, but the Indie Mini booth, which,
yeah.
For people who don't know, the Mini booth is... Like, there's the Mega booth, and those have, you know, usual, like, you know, regular, like, floor space in a certain area of PAX. But within that, there was, like, this piece of carpet where I think six other games were taking the spot of one regular-size booth. And they were all standing. It was standing room only for that. And... you guys were just pulling people off the side. You saw me walk through, and you're like, hey, come play this game. And I was like, okay, we'll see what this is. And, you know, I sucked at it at first. I really did. It was horrible. Just trying to learn the mechanics and everything else, but I had a really fun time with it. And eventually ended up picking up the game on Steam. It was on Early Access, I believe. And it is just, it's hooked me from then on. I love this game. It's a fun little drop-in, play some competitive, and lose yourself in it. How did the concept of Speedrunners come about?
Well, yeah, first of all, thanks for all the kind words.
Oh, I love it. Love the game. Love it.
Yeah, to answer the question, it was actually, we started working on Speedrunners quite a long time ago. I think it was 4 or 5 years ago already. And it started out as a Flash game, like one of those free games you play on websites. And it was just a single-player game. It was just a time trial mode where the goal was to reach the end of the level as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite successful from where we were coming from. And we decided to expand on the concept a little bit and make a version of it for Xbox Live Indie Games, which was like a minor indie channel on the Xbox 360.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and... when we did that, we decided, well, if we're going to bring it to consoles, we really want to add a local multiplayer mode. And we started thinking about how would that work? How would you make a platforming game that's all about speed and running and make that into a local multiplayer game where everyone has, like, is watching the same single TV screen. And the first idea was to make it a split-screen multiplayer game, but it was quickly obvious that if you want to make a game like Speedrunners, which is so fast-paced, if you want to make it split-screen, you'll end up with really tiny screens for each of the four players, and you won't have a good idea of where you're going and what the level will look like. So that was something that wasn't really feasible, so what we decided then was to figure out a different way of how we could do it, and that ended up being kind of what it is now, where everyone is on the same screen, and the goal is not to finish the race first, but to eliminate your opponents by knocking them off the screen.
Yeah, was there any inspiration from anything else? I mean, this is something I've something I've read and something I've often compared it to, obviously, is like a platform Mario Kart sense. But is there any kind of, what did you draw from?
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, Mario Kart is a big inspiration for us in terms of weaponry and balance and like the type of game that we want to make, where it's competitive, but it's also where new players pick it up. They still have a shot and they have a chance, and it's easy to pick up. In terms of mechanics, a big inspiration was Matched, I think previous console, like the original Xbox and PlayStation 2 generation game, which was a Micro Machines, I guess it's the more well-known version of that game. Mm-hmm. Matched was like a descendant of that in that it was a bit more 3D and a bit bigger cards, but it was made by the same team, and I played Matched a lot in college with a lot of friends of mine, and that was like the most fun local multiplayer experience that I had, and that's what I wanted to recreate. So we borrowed from that heavily, and that relies on Micro Machines. So I guess that's like Micro Machines is the to my knowledge one of the first games that had this mechanic and did it really well.
Well, when you started on Speedrunners, how many people were involved in making that?
Well, initially, and like the original Flash game, I started working on it myself just to see if I could make a prototype of the idea that I had in mind and make it fun.
Yeah.
And when it turned out that it was looking to be a fun game, I got my current business partner, Hexam, involved, who is doing all the tech stuff on the game. And along the way between like the original Flash game and the game that we are at now, I think 5 or 6 different people have been working on it as well.
So then you went from basically, Double Dutch, at the beginning, you went from what, maybe 1 to 2 people, and now you're at how many, 6?
Yeah, so right now with Double Dutch Games is still me and Hechan. We've just hired an additional programmer that started working with us a week ago. And we've also partnered up with TinyBuild, who is co-developing / publishing this game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a two-man team as well, and one of them is Tom, who does all the artwork and the animations and a lot of the visually creative stuff. And Alex, the other partner at TinyBuild, he does all the marketing and promotion things. So that's art. And then also, I keep forgetting people, for TinyBuild, we also have a freelance guy that is more or less working permanently with us, who is helping out on the animations as well. So right now we're looking around the office. We have like 6 people or so involved in this project.
Well, I'm sure that's, I don't know if that's going to get bigger or what, but it happens, you know, you guys got Xbox One. You got a big presence. That's the reason that you had such a big presence at PAX this year, was because you're going to be releasing on Xbox One. How did that come about, and when is that going to happen?
Well, I think, a game like Speedrunners, it's obviously best played with friends.
Yeah.
Preferably on the couch. So any console would be a good fit for Speedrunners. And when we released on Steam on Early Access, we always had this idea in mind that we really want to bring it to consoles. And then it was just a matter of time and getting in touch with the right people and getting the right people excited about the game to make that a reality. And that's where TinyBuild helps us a lot as well. Because we're based in the Netherlands, and from the Netherlands it's pretty difficult to set up all those connections with the right people who are usually in the States.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, this interview goes to show you that. For those listening, we conducted this interview at 4 in the morning. It's actually 4:23 a.m. right now while we're doing this. I think it's 11:23 where he's at, where Casper's at. So Just trying to do the communication part of things. There was no way we could have you on live, being 7 hours ahead of us. But and so we appreciate this. Is it going to strictly be on Xbox One for the foreseeable future, or is there a possibility of getting a PS4 or anything like that?
Ideally, to release it on PS4 as well. I mean, obviously, it's just a matter of once again getting in touch with the right people and getting the right people excited. So far, our relationship with Microsoft and Xbox has been pretty good. But I guess that's also due to the reason that part of Tiny Build is located in Seattle. Mm. And they have good connections with Microsoft people who are also based in Seattle.
Okay, so you're saying that you guys aren't really necessarily exclusive to Xbox One. Obviously, you are because it's not coming out on the PS4. But you're not, you're not chained to that. If Sony were to come along and say, "Hey, we'd like your game over here," you'd be able to do that. You're not under any kind of, I suppose contract to stay on Xbox One.
Yeah, I'm actually not super aware of the what kind of contract we are on. So I can't really promise anything on that regard. So I don't know how the specifics would work out. But I mean, the intention is always to release on multiple consoles.
Right.
Sure that there's some kind of exclusivity clause there where it's exclusive for Xbox for some period of time. I'm not really sure. It could be something. But yeah, the intention is always to release on as many different platforms as possible.
Well, you guys are constantly updating the game. I know that it is. You'll see maps that get updates, and you'll see the prototype map that that shows up. And I know that the game updates fairly regularly. What's the plan for that?
Well, I think if you're releasing a game in early access, then you have to keep updating it regularly. That's kind of the promise that you're making. Like, hey, we're working on this game, and we're constantly adding new stuff. It's not always easy to do, because sometimes you're working on stuff that's kind of under the hood, like some technical improvements, especially if you're working on an online multiplayer game. There's a lot of stuff that, I mean, you've played the game, you're probably aware that there's a bunch of issues when you're playing online.
Mm.
And we're working on fixing those issues, and sometimes that takes a while, and then you release, we call them minor updates, that we don't announce or anything, because they don't really do any, they don't add any flashy stuff like new characters or new levels or anything like that, just bug fixes. So that's something that sometimes it's difficult to keep doing big updates where you add interesting new stuff and it's not just all about bug fixes. But we try to find a balance in that where we can keep it in a way where it stays interesting for the players and they can see that the game is still changing and evolving and adding stuff, while at the same time also working on the under-the-hood features.
Yeah, you guys are still under early access on Steam. Will you guys ever come out of that? I mean, because you're constantly updating the game, so will it ever come out of early access?
Yeah, that's a question I keep asking myself as well. So the goal is, our current plan is to release it hopefully by the end of this year. But that all depends on how quickly things are going. We've added a new programmer on the team to help us reach that target. But in the past few years, we've been... it's been difficult for us to actually make a planning and keep to it, and make deadlines for ourselves and then actually make those deadlines. So right now I'm hoping for releasing the, finishing the game before the end of the year, but there are no promises in that regard. Our current plan is whenever there's interesting things to add or to fix or to improve, then we'll keep doing that until the game is good enough, and then we'll stick the final label on it. But even after that, we'll continue adding stuff, making new levels, new characters, but probably on a lower pace.
Yeah, will the Xbox One version of Speedrunners, will it see, when it releases, is it, what's going to come with it? Will it start with just like, I think, 5 or 6 levels that you had and gradually improve or increase that level, the maps, or is it going to hit the same as what is on Steam currently right now? What's the plan for that? When is the release for the Xbox One version?
Okay, so yeah, the Xbox One version, I think it's safe to say that it's more difficult to update the game on the Xbox services than it is on Steam.
Yeah.
I mean, on Steam, you can just, if I see a bug report and I can quickly fix it, I can have like a new version up in 10 minutes if I wanted to. Whereas with Xbox, there's a lot of certification that you have to go through, and so it's not as easy to post updates. So the plan that we have for Xbox is that we, when we release the game, it will be way more a final game without any or many updates, as opposed to the Steam version that is currently seeing constant updates and will even after the release still see regular updates. And as far as release date goes, the plan is that we're currently focusing on the PC version. Like I said, we have a small team, so everyone is dedicated on working on the PC version. And then when that is reaching its more or less final state, that's when we can start really focusing on porting everything to Xbox and making sure everything runs well there. So the release for Xbox is going to be somewhere in 2015 and most likely not in the first few months.
Hmm. Okay, good to know. I can understand the whole the differences with the updates. I figured the Xbox certification thing was probably going to be an issue when trying to keep everything on par with the Steam version of that. But still, people who don't have it on Steam but have an Xbox One, you guys are in for a very, very fun time when this thing gets released. Is this your guys' first game?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, before I started working on the Flash game, I made a few other small Flash games. And before that, Hetam and I worked at a game development company where we worked on like a Xbox 360 title. But for Double Dutch Games, this is the first actual major game, yeah.
Man, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
That is a hell of a game to have for your first one, man. Good job. focusing more on the folks on Steam, because you've got a huge fan base on Steam, obviously. It's not even out on Xbox One, but what can the people on Steam expect in the near future here for Speedrunners?
So one of the things that we're currently working on and that we're pretty excited about is that we're adding a bunch of new characters to the game. And these characters are based on famous YouTube Let's Players. We did a tournament at PAX where a bunch of Let's Players, amongst which guys like Jesse Cox, Cinnamon Toast Ken, Uber Hexanova, Peanut Butter Gamer, Strippin, and Dodger played the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a little tournament of it. And it was a lot of fun. There's like a few videos up on it on YouTube. And these guys are also going to be in the game as characters, as like a downloadable content pack. And the cool part about that is that part of the revenue that comes from those DLC packs is also going to cancer research. So it's also for charity.
Man, that is a fantastic idea. That's great. That is great. We have a couple of questions here from a guy on Twitter. 3RM is the name, and he wants to know. This is probably very early talk here. Way early talk. He says, number one, is there a chance that Speedrunners 2 will go 3D but keep the 2D platformer view, a la Street Fighter 4?
The reason that a 2D game is because it's cheaper and quicker to make 2D art than it is to make 3D art and to make a 3D game. And since we're a small team, that's like a good fit. So my preference is and always has been 2D games, not just because of gameplay, but because of also because of the economics involved. So I don't think 3D is likely, and that's not something we're actively thinking about.
Yeah, would there be something? Well, not I suppose maybe not full 3D like that, but oh, what's the 2.5D that I see a lot of 2D games use? Were there ever any experimentations with that?
Well, I think 2.5D, then you're already venturing in, like economically speaking, you're making 3D models and you're using 3D lighting and you need textures, and there's like a lot of more work involved than making a 2D game. While mechanics wise and gameplay wise, it's similar to a 2D game. So I'm not a big fan of 2.5D games. If we were to go 3D, then it would be full 3D, I guess.
Gotcha. Or maybe something in first-person mode. that would be interesting. His other question is, let's see, what changes would need to be made to make speedrunners a viable esport?
Yeah, that's a good question, because that's something that we are very focused on. Well, maybe focused on isn't the right word, but that we're definitely thinking about. There's actually currently, at this moment, I don't know when the interview is going live, but at the time that we're doing this interview, there's a esports-like tournament going on hosted by Gfinity.net and PewDiePie, and that's like a big ladder system tournament with cash prizes and everything involved.
Oh, wow.
So that's really cool, and it's really cool to see people picking up on this as well, and that's like the first time we're doing like a big tournament type thing, and that's like our first venture into the esports world. And I think speedrunners is partially suited for that. I mean, it's a very skill based type of game, but there's also still a little bit of luck involved. And I think if we want to take it into like the real esports world, then maybe it should tone down the luck factor a little bit. And what we're actually now currently thinking about is we want to find ways to make all the tournament stuff and community interaction a lot more easy to do within the game. So that's definitely something that we're working on, thinking about. Probably won't be in the game in the near future, but it's something that we're working on for like in half a year or so, I guess.
All right. Well, when's the next big update due for Steam players?
We are currently wrapping up the R31 update, which we released. We actually released it before we went to PAX, but it turned out to have quite a few bugs in it. So we decided to roll back that update, fix those bugs first, and we've done that now, and we're almost ready to release it, so that's going to be like today or tomorrow. It has artwork for the prototype map, so that's cool. We've also worked a lot on improving the usability of the level editor, and aside from that, it also has like a bunch of improvements to the current maps and some improvements to the animations of the characters, and like a big list of minor things that we improved.
All right. Well, Casper, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you just for everything out at PAX. It was fun to. Whenever I had a break, I would stop by the booth. Either you were there or somebody else was there, and I would sit there and play a little bit of Speedrunners. And then that tournament you guys held on the final day was fantastic. That was fun to win that one. Considering I was two races down And the guy only needed to win one more to beat, and I had to come back from to win three straight. And so that was a lot of fun. So thank you for that. Speedrunners is a great game. We love it, and I'm sure the feedback you've gotten from players is that they love it. One of the most competitive games that I've ever played. So congratulations on that. Congratulations on the Xbox One release, and thanks so much for doing the show with us.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for all the kind words. Again, thanks for playing it at PAX. It was good to see you there and see you coming back a bunch of times to play it some more. The tournament, it was very intense and a lot of fun, and it was also fun being on the show, so thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. That was Casper Van Ness from the Double Dutch Games, based in the Netherlands there, of course, as you heard. And their game is Speedrunners. It is currently on Steam Early Access. You can pick it up for $10. And it is constantly part of Steam sales and also going to be out on Xbox One next year. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat in just a moment. To In-Game Chats, music there from Heavy Rain. And of course, the interview you heard earlier was Double Dutch Games. That was Casper Van Est for Speedrunners. Gave away a few codes in the chat room, and I'm going to give away a code right now. Well, actually, I tell you what, this is how we'll do it. Rather than giving the Steam codes out over the air and you trying to write down everything I say and misinterpreting anything that I say because I have the cold going on at the moment. Emails. Our email is everyone@ingamechat.net. So the next two people to email us, everyone@ingamechat.net, will get the last two codes that we have for giveaway. So the next two people to email us, everyone@ingamechat.net, will reply back with the codes for whoever gets those in. So what are you giving me? J-Rock 80 wants a shout out. Why does J-Rock 80 want a shout out, Nathan?
Called in a few minutes, the thing wouldn't move. he called in a few minutes ago and had an issue with one of his Xboxes, and he just said he's been listening to the show, and he wanted a shout on the radio.
Oh, okay. 360
we appreciate
or one.
Him listening. Huh?
360 or one?
Xbox. 360. Three, yeah. He was trying to transfer files.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That didn't make things easy.
No.
During that generation, did they?
No, they did not.
Yeah, no. I kept hearing some issues about that when I got mine. It was... like switching out the hard drives was a heck of a lot harder on the 360 than it was on the PS3.
Yeah, they just went into that generation without really considering the longevity of a lot of digital files and what would actually be needed to kind of move them around. Mm-hmm. That concept wasn't fully developed.
Yeah.
So at least through the first half of that generation, they had an awful lot of problems with it. I never got comfortable doing much of that. I think they mostly had it solved by the time we moved on. I mean... I don't even mean that snarkily. I think they eventually did get most of the digital rights management or whatever you call it, like any, you know, digital certificates for your titles and everything sorted out. But it could still be kind of a pain doing it automated.
I mean, one of the things that got me about for the PS3 was like, same with my computer, I could never tolerate having low amounts of space on my hard drive because I put a 500 gig in my PS3. I wanted to get a 750 or a terabit even. But... the amount of time it would take to save and back up what I have now, I think the way it is now, it would take me 20 plus hours to back up everything on my hard drive now to save and put it on a new hard drive for the PS3.
Right.
But it'd be a lot worse on the 360, I think.
Jimmy the Saint there says he's pining for Shadow of Mordor. And I kind of agree with him. I'm kind of sitting there too, like, I'm actually now looking forward to playing this.
Yeah, why?
I enjoyed it at PAX. I played more of it. I paid more attention to it. I really haven't been paying attention to it. I just kind of looked at it as, it's a lot of what I said last week was just like, it's got the climbing of Assassin's Creed and it's got the combat of Batman. It's set in the Lord of the Rings universe. setting it in the Lord of the Rings universe doesn't turn on that appeal for me. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm against that universe. I'm just not very knowledgeable in it. But I really liked playing it. I really had fun playing it. And I want to go deeper into that combat system. I want to get to know more about how it plays and actually put some time into it. More than I did, obviously, at PAX.
I meant to send this to you earlier. I don't know if you saw on Reddit Game Deals. Newegg has a coupon. You can get the digital version for $37.
That's PC?
Yes,
digital. That's nice. Yeah, that's a nice deal.
Or you can wait to get it through your little pipeline and it falls off the back of the truck like you did on a couple of games before.
What was that for?
I don't even remember. I just know you did like some weird website magic. Russian.
Oh, that stuff. Yeah. Okay. I was trying to think, did he physically mean that it fell off the back of a truck?
Yeah, the digital codes, they keep them on a truck that comes in from Mexico and it just falls right off and you go pick them up.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I think the same thing Nate did.
For?
I can't remember. Was it Titanfall?
Oh, yeah. Bought it through the Mexican. All I did was pay for it in pesos. That's all I did. I mean, you know, that's not bad, is it?
Sure. Sure.
More funny than
you
anything.
Got your game?
Yeah, it's through Origin.
So you got your game and you're enjoying it. Then it's fine. Pesos, dollars, doesn't matter.
So anyway, I'm really looking forward to that. And it gives me something in October. I mean, not that October doesn't have enough as it is. When is Dragon Age? Is that October or is that November?
Dragon Age is November. And I'm very interested in Shadow of Mordor. I've been following it ever since they first announced it, and I kind of was like, huh?
I just turned it off my radar.
What are you doing here? Yeah. This is an interesting thing. And they, they took a pretty strong approach. They took the very informative or educational approach with almost everything that they released. It wasn't it wasn't cinematic clips, largely. It was the type of instructional gameplay that, like...
it was the Red Dead
Rockstar
stuff.
Yeah, it was like Rockstar.
Yeah.
Where they actually walk you through in a descriptive sense, which can be its own type of misleading.
It can, yeah.
Right? But they were actually showing a lot of the game systems at work, and I'm kind of open-minded about it, but yeah. I'm not entirely sold. I am going to wait, mostly for impressions, reviews, whatever. I have to wait on that one. I'm just not 100% sold on it.
Because I haven't used it so much, I forget that I have Gamefly.
Yep.
There's that period in the summer there where you just don't have anything going on and you kind of don't have any games showing up on your door. And then you don't have a queue big enough come the holiday
season.
Feast
or famine, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a route I could go.
But I may, and again, I'm not likely to go into it ahead of release. I don't think I'll pre-order unless they absolutely find some way to twist my arm, which is unlikely. They know where I am. They know exactly where I was on Mass Effect. And they are...
We're talking Dragon Age?
Yeah, they are. They are tapping that gland, man. They are hitting me with that online co-op. If it does even a portion
of what
Mass Effect 3 did, I am absolutely in. I'm absolutely in. I loved Mass Effect 3's co-op to death. It was, honestly, one of the best experiences I've had in the last 6-7 years of the last generation. It was a really fantastic time. They did a really great job with it. They supported it wonderfully. Mm-hmm. I skepticism always. I'm holding back my absolute love for it, and I'm not going to commit myself yet, but I'm really, really interested in it. And, I mean, it's Dragon Age, you know? It's not always the best story. The setting isn't always really what it should be. The gameplay systems are sometimes overblown or exaggerated, but the characters, the interactions, the quality of the class mechanics, they're usually pretty good. And I'm cautiously excited, you know? I'm bracing myself for disappointment, but I think it may be the one thing that I actually look forward to. And I had no interest in it 6 months ago.
Yeah,
I just was like, forget you guys. I don't trust you. And
that's what Callie Synth was saying. You know, I'm hoping Dragon Age is good. Very thin ice, BioWare. Very thin ice.
Yeah. So I will be paying very close attention to it. And I think, honestly, I think Shadow of Mordor, Dragon Age Inquisition, and Warlords of Draenor are really about the only three things I'm liable to
Warlords, that's November 2,
be interested in, between now and the end of the year.
Yeah, Alien Isolation, I think, comes out before then. I think that's a really early October.
Yeah,
I
don't, October 7th.
I would I would take that one with a whole fistful of salt,
not jumping on that one either.
No, that's not just from me. I haven't played it. I barely even followed a lot of the videos, but I've seen a number of people who don't entirely trust what they've been given. So, as far as preview material, it looks like a good idea. I think the execution of something that tense is a major question mark.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yet again, incredibly, incredibly skeptical about some of the things happening right now. I mean, I think as we always should be, but out of everything, I want Dragon Age to match how much I loved the multiplayer of Mass Effect 3 and all of the normal stuff that BioWare gives you in a class-based RPG. I want all that to be very true. I hope it is. Time will tell. I'll hold my money back until I'm sure. Shadow of Mordor would be a great surprise hit.
Yeah.
It's exactly the kind of thing that I think really satisfies people. It's a, you know, it's mid-tier. It's not AAA. It's not sort of low-rent. It's not indie. It's that nice mid-tier stuff where they don't feel like $100 million is on the line, you know, which makes you trust the notion that they really are giving the development the time it needs.
Yeah, this is what Monolith, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not, and those guys.
Yeah.
They can be either great or just a thundering
disappointment. They can go either way.
So it would be really, really nice if they came through. I would enjoy my time. So I'm up. What is the date on that?
October 15th.
Month away?
Is somebody, well, obviously, yeah, look that up real quick. Dennis, if you could.
Getting there. November 18th for Mordor.
Really? What?
Yeah.
What?
November?
According to Wikipedia.
I can't.
November 18th. November.
I don't have enough November for all of this stuff. Really?
What? It's Wikipedia, so, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But
okay.
Yeah, that's on 2014 video games. November
18th. Yeah, if that turns out to be true, sorry, Jimmy. In the chat room. He was really looking forward to it, and
No.
Okay, is showing up elsewhere?
Yeah, Xbox 360 and PS3 versions were delayed until November 18th.
Okay. That's
PlayStation 4, Xbox One versions, and PC are set for September 30th.
Oh, okay. Hey, look at that. Right around the corner.
There we go.
Excellent.
Oh.
Apologies for that.
Armat is on the phone. Go ahead, put him on. Matt, you there?
Yeah, hey.
Hey!
How's it going, man?
It's going. So, I just just woke up and I tuned in a little bit and heard you guys talking about Alien Isolation, and James is like, "Don't take it with a grain of salt." And I was like, "Oh,
we put out the bat signal, didn't we?"
Right.
How's that Colonial Marines working out for you?
So don't take it with a grain of salt, but it's still in my wounds.
Yeah,
but you already pre-ordered it, right? Because you get the Ripley stuff, don't you?
I did, yeah, for the PS4.
That's cool. Life's, yeah. I mean, you know, whatever. Eternal optimism. Yeah. Absolutely unstoppable pre-order machine. You go right ahead and use those hard-earned taxpayer dollars to pre-order video games that are untested and of unverified quality.
I think you'll be fine for this one, Matt. I think you'll be fine for this one.
I don't think you will. I don't think you will. I tell you what.
Possible he'll enjoy it.
I think there will be enough room. I think the fig leaf will be large enough to cover whatever shame you may have felt. Right? That's all that's important anymore. If you buy into a video game sight unseen, all you have to do is make a very few number of declaratory statements before the game comes out, and then later say whatever it is, it's exactly what you wanted anyway. Oh, I'm fine with it. I'm having fun. Well, okay. I guess you just absolutely destroyed a critical argument against it. So, anyway, But that's just how it goes.
Thanks for getting up early and calling in.
If you needed a little bit of abuse from halfway around the world.
Yeah, but I mean, is that any way out of my character? That's just me.
Right. Well, then, you know, there's also that. So I'm perfectly happy with everybody pre-ordering it and buying it. It's in my immediate vicinity so that I can then find out about it.
Yeah. And do you got any idea when you're coming back, man?
Just like later this year.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if anything had been set in stone or anything like that.
Nah.
Gotcha. Well, let's see. So, I don't know. So, you've pre-ordered Alien Isolation. What else have you pre-ordered?
Well, on Steam, I pre-ordered the Gabriel Knight remake. Well, remaster, I guess.
That's fine.
Comes out.
Yeah, I saw that pop up. Looks interesting. I mean, Gabriel Knight. I never did play them. It was one of those things.
I never did either.
One of those things the magazine's like, that sounds interesting. But I never got around to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely something that I would never condemn you for doing. It's Gabriel Knight, and I know that you have a long history with that. And even if you didn't, and you had played something that they had done, it's a remaster or a re-release of older.
20th Anniversary Edition?
Yeah, that's 20th? Fine. Yeah. I'm not going to get on your case about pre-ordering something like that.
The thing that gets me is the 20th anniversary part. I'm like, no, oh, man.
Yeah,
20 years ago was not the 70s.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to say.
One of the guys here I went to high school with, and he like saw me yesterday. He's like, hey, Matt, you know, last week was our 20th high school reunion. And I'm just like, shut up.
No, it's true. It's absolutely true. I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry that you're so old.
And also the Borderlands pre-sequel.
Did you pre-order that?
I know, James. Yeah.
Oh, Matt.
I know you don't. I know you have issues with the series, but I have a good time. It's my most fun.
Yeah, but forget about it. Whatever. You spend your money however you want to spend it. There's simply no argument that's going to gain purchase against the pre-order of something that you're looking forward to. It's not going to happen. If you went through the process of pre-ordering Colonial Marines and then could admit to yourself what an amazing, like, galactic failure of a video game that was, and yet you still continue the habit, nothing can stop it. Nothing. So,
yeah.
I'm not even mad at you. I'm just yelling at you because you're mad, and it's a convenient thing to talk about.
We miss you. We miss you having you on the show, man.
Yeah, definitely.
So hopefully when you come, I'm getting over the PAX pox, and the studio got struck by lightning, and did not travel in time whatsoever, other than traveled back to the Stone Age where things just didn't, where electronics did not.
We were not going 88 miles an hour.
No, we were not. Yeah, I got struck by lightning, so Nathan has to sit in here with us now because that room does not work that he used to sit in. yeah, there's that. And we're doing, I don't know if you've watched the show, but we've got multiple camera angles now.
Oh, no. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. So there's that. With you coming back, God, we're gonna need another splitter for your headphones, and we're going to need another microphone somewhere for when you come back, depending on if... I don't know when we're getting that room fixed of yours, man. It's seriously, they haven't even ordered the parts that's going to be here for doing that. It's going to take a few weeks. It may even take longer.
Yeah, it's pretty crowded in there.
Yeah, it's pretty crowded, but, we're having fun. So really really good to hear from you. And I hope everything's going well out there, and I hope you get back sooner rather than later.
Definitely.
So you can tell us how Alien Isolation is. Are you getting that on Steam?
No, PS4.
Huh. Okay. Well, then that means we can borrow it from you regardless.
Yeah. That way I have something to play on the PS4 and,
Can we pick up your copy?
If you want.
Didn't you do that once?
Yes. Arkham Asylum,
wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
When you were also engaged,
elsewhere,
securing my freedoms or whatever. Whatever it is you do. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll talk to you about that. Maybe picking that up so we can put some time into it and at least, you know, be able to talk about it. Do what?
All right.
Yeah, we'll let you know how it is, exactly what we'll do. All right, man. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, see you guys, man.
Yeah, all right. Take care.
We'll talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, good to hear from Matt. Listen, we've still got at least one more code left. If you want to send us an email, everyone@ingamechat.net. Speaking of, those of you who listen to this on the podcast or whenever, I may not have gotten that email, so go ahead and send one if you want a copy of Speedrunners, because we may still have codes available. So, excuse me. Anyway, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. If anybody has anything left that they wanted to mention, I think that'll be it. I don't know of anything that's coming out this week, but I do know the PS...
I'm not even joking, and I'm not trying to be, like, whatever, but this week, for whatever it's worth, critical reviews aside and the actual behavior of, like, how the review structure works versus expectation, disappointment, all this other stuff in Destiny, but for anybody that actually cares, this coming week is what's going to mark the first series of... special events, the beginning of the rotation of the raid cycle and everything, and the raid's going to open up on Tuesday. So if anybody wants to focus more on like what the game might actually be beyond what was shipped in the box and all of that consideration, it's about to happen.
Yeah.
And that's worth taking note of. So
yeah, so there is that, and we did not do a Silver Ball Sundays last Sunday. I just really wasn't feeling it, and so we'll be doing that coming up this Sunday, not tomorrow, but next Sunday. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and on the radio. Thanks to everybody who gets us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We really appreciate it. Check out ingamechat.net. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Check out the forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group over there. Join up with us and play with us and other listeners. And also, we got a clan for Destiny. And if you'd like that, just shoot us an email. We'll let you know what it is. Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of your weekend. Have a great week. We will see you next Saturday. This is music from Hitman.